This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
3, 2, 1.
Do you know what I feel like doing?
Taking the trip to Puerto Rico?
Of course. I feel like kicking back, relaxing, and getting comfy. Welcome to the Get Comfy Lowdown. I'm your host, Kalo, as always, here to give you the lowdown on all things that are Island Boy related, and I'm joined by my co-host.
I'm an island boy. Na, na, na. That's the only time Kalo will represent an island boy. What up, guys? It's him on the mic.
And before we get into today's pod, I'd like to say thank you to anybody and everybody who is liking and sharing this podcast with anybody and everybody you know.
Thank you, guys. I'm playing it again, by the way. I don't know if you can hear me, but I'm playing.
We're going to get a copyright strike for that, so you might want to pause that real quick. But listen, WrestleMania Backlash just happened over the weekend on Saturday, and let me tell you something, brother. There hasn't been a show this week, or not even this week, this year.
Oh, last year.
Or last, that has come... Clash was kind of there.
But if you look at it, the last show, it was been 18 years since Puerto Rico had like a pay-per-view in there. They had like live events here and there, but like, imagine being like starved from not having like a pay-per-view or a, you know, a Raw or SmackDown in your country for like 18 years. We get greedy. We get it like every week. We have it in our state. So can you imagine if WWE moved to like Canada or South America, and for 18 years we don't have pay per view in New York or in Los Angeles or in Texas or in Philly? Like, Matt, and you know you would be going crazy if you saw it.
I was gonna say there hasn't been like a show like this. I would even go as far to say like, Backlash we view as like a whatever, like
a B pay-per-view.
I would argue CD, you know, something around that tier, because it's kind of like, yeah, it's just the pay-per-view between Money in the Bank and blah 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 to get you to the next point. But yeah, this show was electric start to finish. I think it was just amazing.
I wouldn't say amazing because of two matches I feel like should have been swapped places.
Yes,
I know. And if it was that, then I would say it was amazing. Just with that, I wouldn't call it amazing.
So I want to, we're not going to run through like the whole card. It's more or less the impact and coming out of this show, everything that's happening. First off, the first match on the card, Io Sky versus Bianca Belair. Talk about topsy-turvy town. You don't know what's going to happen. You don't know who's going to react to what.
And they think New York, we're bad. When they come to New York and we start chanting for the bad guys and booing the good guys. Puerto Rico was on our side today. Shout out to the people over in Puerto Rico.
So, yeah, what he's referring to is Io Sky basically got adopted by the Puerto Rican island. And she was cheered as if she was Puerto Rican herself. I honestly, I don't know the context of where it came from. Maybe it's just like what you said. They boo the good guys, cheer the good guy or bad guys. I don't know. Is that's backwards? That might be right. I don't know.
Boo the good guys, cheer the bad guys.
There we go. And I don't know where it came from. It was amazing. It was pretty. And you've seen Bianca like during the match. I don't know if you watched the full match, but
I did.
But you've seen she started to pick up on the fact that, like, hey, they're going to boo me no matter what I do. So let me start playing up a little bit of a heel. And Io Sky was like, all right, well, I guess I'm going to be the face here.
I feel like it would have been a perfect time to do a double turn for that. Because also, there's plans on damage control for breaking up, who knows. But I feel like it would have been a good chance to swap the title since she's going to SmackDown. I feel like this would have been perfect. Be like, all right, Bianca, your title reign's over. And kind of proves the situation that Bayley couldn't beat Bianca, but somebody else in Damage Control was able to do that. And then you can tease that breakup into a triple threat for the women's title. I honestly thought that Io Sky was going to win, and send, and I also thought that Zelina Vega was going to win, because, you know, you can actually have the SmackDown's title on SmackDown instead of having it on Raw where the title, but yeah, you know.
They're just going to do the thing where they just like meet backstage and it's like, here you go, here's your colored belt, and then take my colored belt.
I don't think so.
It is important to highlight the fact, you know, you always tell me, whenever you're in your hometown, never like root for the hometown person. Never. Because they're always set up for a letdown or whatever. Personally, I don't think Zelina Vega was going to win over Rhea Ripley, only for the fact Rhea is just getting started. It seems like she's going to be going on a dominant reign. If this was later in Rhea's title reign and she didn't just win it at Mania, I'd say, you know what? Let's do it. Because that crowd, I mean, clearly, was behind Zelina Vega. But touching on Io Sky real quick, and then we'll move on to more matches. The sudden split up, or at least the divide happening within Damage Control, is in full effect. Bayley and Dakota were coming down to the ring to kind of help Io. There was also a quick little subtle detail where Dakota was pleading with Bayley not to go down to the ring because, as it seemed, Io had Bianca's number. She had her put away, and it was just a matter of timing and doing all that stuff. So as Bayley's coming down, Dakota's like, please just don't. She's got it. Let her do it. And then Bayley gets involved, costs Io, and boom, Bianca retains. So I guess moving to another match on the card, real quick, Seth Rollins versus Omos. Homo sapiens are still getting denied their moment in the sun. Seth Rollins beat Omos. I don't understand why we are pushing Omos out there to lose to almost everyone he faces. He did it with Brock. He's now doing it with Seth Rollins. And yet, every time he walks to the ring, we are supposed to believe he's a credible threat to anybody he's facing.
Well, apparently this was his best match. People in the backstage are praising Omos for the match, which I think is more of from what Seth Rollins has done than anything from Omos.
I'd say his Brock match and his most two recent matches here are Brock Lesnar and Seth Rollins, and I think those are his two best matches.
Oh, 100%. 100%. Then they want their next Braun, and it was Road Dogg who tweeted out that Omos is more talented than Andre the Giant, which you can't compare them because they were two different eras. Like saying how Seth is better than Hogan. He is. Seth is 100% better than Hogan, but at the time, what Seth does and what Ricochet does was not the norm back in the 80s. So you can't, it's like comparing strawberries to broccoli. They're two different things.
That's very, look at you. Look at you with your analogies. I'm so proud of you.
Thank you.
All right. Are we going to dictate proper logic here? Actually, you know what? Real quick, Zelina Vega, Rhea Ripley.
Dude, if there was a chance to put the rocket on Zelina, it was that moment in Puerto Rico.
I was just saying, I don't, if this was early on in Rhea's championship reign, which it is, I don't think you pull the trigger now. If this was later down the road, and this was, say, next year's WrestleMania Backlash, and let's just say, for timeline's sake...
Well, technically, we're making a joke. For those who want to know, it's Backlash. We're just used to WWE calling it WrestleMania Backlash. Go ahead, sorry.
Of course. So let's just say, for timeline's sake, this is the first Backlash in Puerto Rico. Then I'd say, you know what? Rhea's held the title for a year. Hometown, home country, home nation. Zelina obviously was just as over, I would say, as Bad Bunny. You know, they're equal levels. Things I never thought I'd say. But, you know, it seemed right. It did. It was just like Drew at Clash of the Castle. It was just like Sammy in Canada. Again, it's just the matter of that hometown
You make some good valid points, and also there was a kind of like no build to it as well.
And that was most of the card, honestly.
I know it with Bad Bunny, and then they literally took place after Mania. That had a little build into it.
Long term storytelling there.
Yeah, with also WrestleMania, I think it was WrestleMania 38, I want to say, where they fought Miz and Morrison.
Yep.
So at least that has some story doing. Cody and Brock, like I said, night after Mania, that still had, wasn't short term booking. Yeah, a lot of them. Yeah, no, honestly. I think only Selena and Rhea Ripley didn't have much going into it.
I'd say Bianca and Io. It was kind of just a cold match.
No, I mean, you could think about how Damage Control and that whole story for the greater good.
Yeah. Okay. I'll give you that. Now, I was saying earlier, do we want to go continuity-wise and just stick to the way the card played out, or do we want to move the main event down the spot and then put the match?
We have to. So the two matches that we're talking about is the Damian Priest and Bad Bunny Street Fight, which we're going to put in the main event. And in the main event that was originally Brock versus Cody, we're going to talk about that right now. Okay.
Right now. So the story goes, which the story is still unfinished, Cody Rhodes versus Brock Lesnar. It was the main event. I think by the time that match happened, the crowd was very much drained. They were still in it, but, you know, many people are saying that Bad Bunny versus Damian Priest should have gone on last. I agree. But getting to Cody Rhodes, Brock Lesnar here, Brock Lesnar is at his best whenever he is selling, whenever he is invested in a match, whenever he is really, when he's buying into his opponent. You can tell, especially whenever he's like not really feeling it and it's kind of like, meh, whatever. This match gave me that SummerSlam versus John Cena vibes where he was just suplexing John Cena out of his armbands and it looked like a brutal beatdown. I'd say the same thing with whenever he faced Randy Orton, you know. Brock is fun whenever he's tasked with selling a lot or whenever he's invested.
Yeah, 100%. We've seen it. At first, you know, for the longest time, we thought, oh, Brock doesn't care about anything. But then we saw him with his feud with, I think it was AJ and then Brian. And we're like, oh, Brock kind of cares depending on who he's fighting.
Yeah, and it's, I guess it's like a gelling thing where it's like, all right, you can't just put me in a random match against X, Y, and Z and expect me to really care or really put out. This match, and I guess the big spot to talk about, is the exposed turnbuckle. Cody whips him into it. Brock is busted open. People are saying it was blading, but it's very clear to see Brock hit. Yeah, Brock hit the turnbuckle, the exposed turnbuckle, and was immediately gushing. I mean, blood everywhere. It was insane. That's when the match really picked up for me. That was the turning point.
You could see him in his face, too, on the following Raw as well, too. Like, that little stitches he got on his hair.
He was bad. And Cody, by the end of the match, looked like Homelander at the end. The blood everywhere. Again, I'll stick to the fact, Cody Rhodes, if in fact, at some point in his tenure with WWE, decides to turn heel, I think a Homelander gimmick would be perfect.
You want him to be racist?
No, but, you know, maniacal, stuff like that. You know, minus all the controversial stuff, which is basically the whole Homelander character.
You want him to drink his milk?
I mean, hey, it happens every now and then. Not really. But in case you didn't watch The Boys, out of context, that sounds really bad. But, yeah, he wins via a roll-up. He was in the Kimura lock. It seemed as if, you know, hey, like, the match is kind of near its end. People are saying because Brock was busted open as much as he was, they kind of cut the match short. I don't know if it appeared like that. It kind of did. But, yeah, the roll-up victory to me solidified the fact that we're getting another Cody Rhodes versus Brock Lesnar match. We just watched Raw. This is now Tuesday we're recording this. And now we're getting a Cody versus Brock match at Night of Champions. Brock Lesnar said he wants more. He looks scary with that little, like, as DJM said, with that little set of stitches on his face. But the bigger question here is, are we getting a normal match or are we getting like a gimmick match here? As for what gimmick match I think we should get at Night of Champions to make things even spicier. Before we continue the show, I wanted to take a little time to talk about Noom. Noom uses the latest in behavioral science to empower people to take control of their health for good through a combination of psychology, technology, and human coaching on their platform to help millions of users meet their personal health and wellness goals. A lot of people face pressures to change themselves to fit other people's expectations, and the more freeing solution is to find the things that work for you. Noom understands that everyone's weight loss journey is unique, and what works for someone else might not really work for you. That's why Noom's approach adapts to your lifestyle. It's flexible and focuses on progress, not perfection, allowing you to work towards your goals at a pace that's comfortable for you. And for me personally, that's huge. I know that I am not Dwayne The Rock Johnson. I know that I'm not getting up at 4 a.m. to go work out. But by using Noom and having that little more of flexibility and stability, it certainly helps with my journey here. Noom also makes it easy to start your weight loss journey and stay on track with personalized lessons that help you gain confidence and a practical knowledge, one-on-one coaching, and cognitive behavioral approaches that teach you how to be mindful of your habits. 75% of Noom weight loss users finished the program, and more than 60% of users that engaged with the program kept the weight off for a year or more. So start building better habits for healthier long-term results. Sign up for your trial at Noom.com/believe. Again, that is Noom, N-O-O-M, .com/believe. B-L. What were you going to say?
Fight pit. Because if you hear Brock said he wants a fight, unless, wait a minute. Did you do yours? I got a 200 IQ right here. Go. What do you think?
I was going to say an ambulance match.
Nah. I got a better one.
Buddy street fight?
No. You can't top the Bad Bunny and Damian Priest's Puerto Rican street fight. But you ready for mine?
What?
Brock wants a fight. And WWE's next pay-per-view, Brock Lesnar versus Cody Rhodes inside an octagon.
An octagon.
You have the merger. You could call it the octagon. You can't. You don't have to. You don't have to call it a fight pit or an eight circle room or whatever gimmick thing you could call it. You can have who's that commentator everyone likes? He has a YouTube channel.
Joe Rogan
commentating for the fight and all that. It's great. It's great continuity. Book it. Brock Lesnar. You can even put it on a UFC pay-per-view as well too.
I was gonna say you do an ambulance match, you do a last man standing match.
Last thing, Smitty Max kind of gets boring, though, to the point when you're like, hey, nah, it doesn't pick up until near the end when you think it's over and then they get up. But Edge and Randy's last man standing match during the COVID era kind of killed it for me.
Whoa. That was the best wrestling match ever.
No, I'm talking about the WrestleMania match.
Wasn't that billed as the best?
I know. It was WrestleMania Backlash, which was built where they had the ghost of Howard Finkel come from a microphone and call it the best. That's where Edge got injured.
Oh. Wild times, COVID was.
Yeah, wild times. Feels like a decade ago. But you know what? I think it should be an octagon match. Brock versus Cody. Let's go. Come on. Brock wants to be back in the octagon. Put a WWE superstar in there and let them just go at it.
That does not sound intriguing, especially with Cody Rhodes. I love Cody. You know my stance on him. But that's how
think about it. That's how you protect Cody, because Cody has never been into an octagon match. And you give Brock his W because Brock wants his win back.
Adversity on a pole match.
Oh, adversity. We went over it.
Adversity. You got to put it on a pole in a Ziploc bag.
Yeah.
Speaking of poles and kendo sticks, since they're kind of a pole, kind of deal. Let's talk about Bad Bunny, Damian Priest.
The match that should have been the main event. The match before was scheduled as a tag team match, but they chose WWE who had faith in Damian Priest and Bad Bunny to just do it by themselves. And I feel like it would have taken away the what they were building with Damian Priest and Bad Bunny if it was a tag team match. I feel like they did it right with the singles match.
I just want to say I saw a tweet that night saying this match was like an Avengers Endgame for Puerto Ricans.
Oh, 100%. Oh, yo, because you had so who's that guy? Fuck,
Savio Vega.
Savio Vega coming back out of nowhere. He's like, here's a Kindle stick that I painted in your in the color.
That's the Infinity Gauntlet. You had Bad Bunny, Damian Priest, Rey Mysterio, who's Mexican, but like, you know, whatever. LWO, Legado de Fantasma, you know.
They're all Spanish. They're not.
Well, that's what I'm saying. But they had the T-shirts. The T-shirts made them Puerto Rican.
Yo, if they had Epico and Primo come out too,
bro, the Shining Stars should have been there. Primo, Epico should have been there.
Oh my god.
I mean, get Chavo, even though he has some beef with Rey Mysterio now. Yeah,
that's just gimmick. That's not a real beef. He said. But, yeah, fooled you though. But here's the thing: I would have loved if you hear. Puerto Rico. What was their intention?
Shining Stars or whatever?
No, hold on. I'm going to go play. We might get copyrighted. I don't care. I want to hear.
Well, then you would have to do. Well, no. Are we doing Los Matadores or were they?
No.
Because they went through a lot of different.
First, they were just Primo and Epico. And then there were Los Matadores. And then they were the Shining Stars. Hold on.
That should have been part of it. Also, Carlito came back. Got one of the biggest pops of the night.
Good for him because he came back at the Royal Rumble when it was still the COVID era and there was like no crowds. So like people were like, oh, we should have him back. I'm like, this is a great way to have him back in Puerto Rico.
That whole execution of that match was just on point. Like it from start to finish, it was entertaining. Bad Bunny's entrance. We were just talking about it before we went on air. Goosebumps. I mean, the crowd was singing the song. They were invested. Of course, it was expected. You know, it's Bad Bunny, the biggest recording artist in the world right now.
He's the Pitbull of this generation. I said it here first.
Stop it. Stop. Don't even. They're on two different playing fields.
Wait a minute. Come to Puerto Rico, the shining stars of the Caribbean. If they play that, because Primo is Carlito's brother. So
yeah, the clones.
Oh, yeah, clones. Also, Epico is also their cousins. But anyway, but I would have died. Also, going back when we were six, I want to say it. On SmackDown, did you watch Finn coming down? He was just saying, hola, 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 hola.
Finn is just having fun out there. He's just having a time. He's just doing his thing. But shout out.
Go ahead.
No, like coming out of this match, Damian Priest has been getting high praise, rightfully so, for that match. I mean, I've loved his run since NXT, Punishment Martinez. You know, it's great to see WWE taking these talents that they know are good and putting them in these spots, really testing them, because coming out the back end, now that you have the World Heavyweight Championship, there is a viable contender for whoever comes out of that tournament.
Well that shows you how good Triple H is with continuity, because he knows out of everyone who is really talented and who's really good. Also, I hate how this wasn't the main event, because the way the match ended look like a way to go home. Where Bad Bunny raised, and then it's like, hey guys, we still have another hour. You need to come down now. Come on, guys, let's go.
Yeah, it felt like, because let's be honest, during this match, there was surprise after surprise after surprise. It just went on. Like, it was great, though. Like, normally, whenever a match gets too much, like, juice in it, it becomes bloated, and you kind of, like, it sacrifices a lot. But Bad Bunny taking all those big bumps, this is a celebrity. This isn't like a full-time, been doing this for like half their life wrestler. This is a guy who just grew up loving WWE. and he came out in a WWF jacket on SmackDown.
Remember? Oh my god!
Yeah, like it was so funny to see that during the YouTube clips. But yeah, like Bad Bunny is a bona fide star in the ring. Again, I want to say something, and I want to get your reaction to this because this thought was planted in my mind the second that pay-per-view ended. So do you want to know my pick for Bad Bunny's next match?
I feel like you're going to say Logan Paul.
Yes, give me Logan Paul, Bad Bunny, Knight of Champions.
Nah.
Saudi, that has Saudi match written all over it. You can't tell me otherwise.
I need that to be a Mania match. I can't have it over Blood Money.
You're thinking big picture. I like it. I like it. But, like, tell me I'm wrong. Two of the biggest stars in general, like, in life, in a match, like, come on.
No, you're 100%. I agree with you. And you can have it where Logan Paul talks smack about Bad Bunny at his Impulse podcast, or you could do what Logan Paul used to do and do a diss track. When Logan Paul was just a YouTuber, and before that he was just a liner, and he used to have beef with everyone until YouTube was like, all right, these diss tracks are just a form of bullying. We won't allow it. And then he left the YouTube thing to become a YouTube boxer. And then when he didn't beat Floyd Mayweather, he went to podcasting and then went to WWE. You know all that, the whole lineage of the Logan Paul story. No, I think it should be Logan Paul versus Bad Bunny and Mania.
It would also like be electric just to see Bad Bunny go out on stage. And let me just call it now. Should we be worried about Bad Bunny dethroning Roman Reigns? Is he the one?
No, because you can risk an artist getting injured. We can't have him getting injured.
Him getting injured? He just got put through like 20 tables. He's fine. Let him rip. It would be electric to see him go out on the stage at like a Coachella with like both championships or like the world heavyweight around his waist. I'm just saying. I think we've gone into some crazy, crazy parts of the world here.
It is, and I want to talk. But you never know what happens. God bless that Bad Bunny.
Super Bowl halftime, Bad Bunny, world heavyweight champion, coming out, performing. Money everywhere.
Money would come out of the sky like a Shane McMahon. I think, though, is that, first of all, give credit where credit is due, that people thought that this match shouldn't have been the main event. It's not the best wrestling match of the year. I could say that with confidence, but it's the best street fight we had in the past couple of years.
I would say so.
You would agree? Not the best wrestling match of the year, but the best street fight in the past couple of years.
Well,
it's no VLC. Don't get me wrong.
No VLC. All right. While you pose the question, where do you think this ranks like as the best celebrity match we've gotten? I would say either ever or in recent years, because I know people are saying WrestleMania 1, all that happened there. But like, I'm talking about like,
No. I think this just, I think it's the best solely based on the crowd. Yeah. The crowd made these matches feel important. The crowd, like I said, the crowds were starved for a wrestling pay-per-view to come to their show that wasn't a live event, that wasn't not on TV or on streaming services. So, you know, I think this is probably one of the best pay-per-views with celebrity guests on it.
For sure. There's been talk, especially recently, of them gauging interest for an Australia show. I think that would be amazing.
Grayson Waller and Andy Hall are going straight to the moon.
Grayson Waller, now that he's on SmackDown.
SmackDown.
Rhea Ripley.
No, I mean, Rhea, go. Stop trying to make Rhea happen.
I will ride this train until the wheels fall off. It's got to happen.
Well, they had an Australia show back, I think it was 2018.
Bring back the Iconics. Do whatever you need to get this show over.
I would love the Iconics to come back.
Do whatever you need to get this over. I need it. Inject it in my veins. I need that hometown pop for Rhea Ripley.
Just like how I wanted the way, and the way's coming back to Monday Night Raw without Austin Theory, but we don't talk about the forgotten child.
Yeah, he's off doing his own little thing. The kids grow up fast, you know.
He's in college right now. He's having a time of his life. Do you think that, as a Puerto Rican, do you think this shows how great it was? Do you think it needs to be another 18 years to get this much reception back? Or because you know how Cast of the Castle, I think the last one was I want to say it was Insurrection back in 2001 or 2002 was the last time they had a over in Europe pay per view besides WWE UK. Do you think that we should have, if you want that much electrifying audience to be invested into matches, do we wait that much long for like a Puerto Rico show or, you know, like a Canada show or like any overseas shows?
No, I just think anywhere besides the United States, depending on where you're at, those crowds will always deliver. I mean, you've seen it at Clash. You've seen it at now Puerto Rico. Raw in Canada, and I think it was Elimination Chamber. Was that?
Yeah, but that was Sammy. That was solely based on Sammy.
But still, like, to show you, like, they got the World Heavyweight Championship now, and they say it's going to be defended all around the world. I think that lends to the fact that, hey, you know, Wembley, or is it Wembley for Money in the Bank?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's Wembley Stadium.
There we go. That's our next litmus test. Also, too, the whole Raw crowd in Jacksonville last night. I mean, I guess we were spoiled these past couple days, but you can tell there was a clear difference in energy.
Oh, there were piping sounds. And Cody, last time Cody was in Jacksonville was during the when he was in AEW during the pandemic era.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. You see where Jacksonville, the crowd was like, eh. Because they're used to it. They have AEW, they have TNA, they have WWE, they have all these other independent shows going around. Puerto Rico doesn't have anything like that. That's why I say if you did another Puerto Rican show next year, or not even next year, if you do it again this fall, I don't think the crowd's going to be as hot because they just had Backlash.
I think you space it out. I would totally be okay
every year or once a year.
Backlash or whatever pay-per-view. Like, you're World Wrestling Entertainment, yet almost all of your pay-per-views or premium live events now are in the United States. Like, hey,
you know, remember how SummerSlam, when we were growing up, was always located in California? It was always in Los Angeles, which kind of made me mad. I'm like, I want to go to SummerSlam. I want to go there. I think Backlash should be in San Jose. Not San Jose. Well, pause. Should be in Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
I think that should be just set it there for a couple of years, get that money in, and then move on to another place like England, have like Money in the Bank always in England for the next 5 years, or have like, I miss those kind of pay-per-views where some cities as much as I said, I hate having it, but instead of states, have it overseas. Like you said, worldwide, have Japan be taking a WrestleMania.
Remember they did a Beast in the East with it was like a house show, but like Kofi versus Brock, I think was the match or something. Joe versus Finn Balor was at that too.
No, it was Kevin Owens versus Finn Balor because that's when Finn won his NXT title. Going back to the Beast in the East, how unfortunately have Beast in the East that happened a couple years later? It repeats with Brock beating Kofi. But I think, you know what, Puerto Rico, great show. Where do you think the next pay-per-view should be? We can't say Money in the Bank because that's already England. We already knew that.
Well, the next one's not technically.
Not Saudi. Like a different place that hasn't had a pay-per-view yet. And you can't say Australia because Australia had the Super Show. Where would you like to see the next pay-per-view? I'm not calling it PLE because that's stupid. Where would you want the pay-per-view to be next place? Because I think WrestleMania over at Japan will be...
I know they can't do it, but they can gimmick it. Something in Italy, the Colosseum.
Oh, that'd be cool. That'd be... That'd be really cool.
If they could have a match in the Coliseum, even better. But yeah, like, they can't
set up. Well, what do you mean you can't? WWE has money. You set up a ring there. You have the people
desecrate
come.
The site. Just desecrate it. They should do, like, Brazil would be an awesome place to hold like a SummerSlam or something like that. Like,
I
do
think
stuff
I,
like that more.
I two things because I would number one. One, the ring announcer of Backlash should have just speak in Spanish. Oh, in Puerto Rico, it's Spanish, right? That's the native.
Puerto Rican, we'll go with that.
I don't want to sound like insensitive or whatever, but I feel like it would have given more of that that interest. Like, this is we're here, so because the LWO on SmackDown only spoke in Puerto Rican, so Spanish. So I feel like commentators, yeah, because you're watching in the United States, but if the ring announcer was only introducing these superstars in Spanish, I feel like that would have given, because we're not in the States. We're in front of them. So I feel like that would have been cool if they did the ring announcers in Spanish, from people coming in the way. But I think like WrestleMania should be one of these places where you have San Jose, you should have it where it's in Italy, it's in Brazil, it's in Japan. I feel like because this is everyone's watching it. It'd be like this, they need to treat it like how FIFA does it with soccer, with the World Cup. Can you imagine if they start doing that where WWE goes to Japan, to go to Brazil, South America, Japan, they go to India, they go to Italy, they go to Rome, they go to Scotland. If they just go all of these places.
I can see it. Like, they're obviously testing, like what we alluded to earlier. They're gauging interest for an Australia show. I think that's more than happen.
They already had an Australia. Like I said, they had an Australia. They
Another one. Shout out to DJ Khaled. But yeah, I think as time goes on, I think they branch out, give more shows out to the world, make their money, and have it be less controversial than the Saudi shows.
I was going to say, don't say that. Now the Saudis, like, we want a show at SummerSlam. Well, they already had the Elimination Chamber. Saudis had the Elimination Chamber.
Now they're doing that. Now they're getting an actual moment in WWE history, crowning a new World Heavyweight Champion there.
I mean, would have been better. I think it's worse than crowning King of the Ring over there.
Fair. I'll give you that one. But what I will give the people are more episodes of the Get Comfy Podcast, Get Comfy Game Break, and Get Comfy Lowdown every single Wednesday, Friday, and Sunday, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on all major listening platforms like iTunes, Spotify, and of course, the Believe Network. I've been K-Lo, joined by the one and only.
Too sweet. And on the mic.
And we'll see you guys next time.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.